Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Jackson Hole to Jacksonville, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big Tuesday show for you. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So glad you decided to stop on by, because we are absolutely slammed today. I'm excited about today's show. We got a lot on last night's Chiefs and Ravens Monday Nighter. One team passed the exam, one team failed it. One quarterback passed the exam, one quarterback failed it. We'll talk about that throughout the show, including leading off things here in just a few moments. Also, coming up this morning on the show, Doc Rivers out in Los Angeles. Was he the scapegoat for Kawhi Leonard and playoff Paul George's postseason woes? The Eagles and Carson Wentz, there's a decision to be made by Doug Peterson. Will Mitch Trubisky ever get his job back in Chicago? We'll preview the NBA Finals. Last night, the Stanley Cup Final wraps up. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll have Canadian bacon coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. And baseball's postseason begins today. And boy, what a matchup and set of matchups it is. It's going to be like March Madness as the MLB postseason gets underway with an amazing 8 different series in action in one day. All of that coming up on the show. Plus, it's a Trash Tuesday. We'll get to our trashes next hour on the show. We want your trashes. So hit me up on the phones if you've got a trash at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can send me your trash. Send me your trash by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. So that's all coming up this morning on the show. Can't wait for Jeff Passan to drop on by, my favorite baseball writer. Today, the American League starts up things, and then tomorrow with the National League and the American League, we've got all of the matchups going on at the same time, so it's going to be a lot to digest. You need Jeff Passan here to walk you through it. But the story of the morning is Patrick Mahomes, who last night barely broke a sweat in riddling that Baltimore Ravens defense with bullet holes. He was at an MVP caliber yet again, and the Chiefs made it look all too easy. In fact, had there not been a fumble which swapped momentum for a couple of drives in that third quarter, the Chiefs really could have blown the doors off the Ravens. Every time Kansas City needed a score, they got a score. They got a touchdown, not a field goal. And last night, watching Mahomes, that Chiefs offense, just break off chunk plays and sevens, not threes, and big plays downfield, and pick up first downs whenever they wanted them, seemingly. It made you realize that this Chiefs team, even though they kind of meandered their way through a clunker last week against the Chargers, is still at that kind of next level where they are the single most diabolical offense in the NFL. And no matter what, they just can absolutely rip you apart. And remember that in the last couple of regular seasons, the same thing has happened. The Chiefs have come out victorious in this matchup. We've had Lamar versus Mahomes three times so far in the regular season, and all three times advantage Mahomes. Will Patrick forever have the Ravens' number? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Right hand on the ball, snaps it back to the waist of Mahomes. Retreating into the pocket, Marlon Humphrey on a blitz. Deep throw down the middle. Hardman wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City, a 49-yard bomb.
I just thought overall, I guess a team that I think is as well coached as any team in the league with John Harbaugh and his crew, I just thought it was a well-executed game from the Chiefs' standpoint.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Mitch Holtis, Chiefs Radio. Touchdown, Kansas City. Andy Reid after the win. Chiefs 34, Ravens 20. Game wasn't as close as that score might indicate. Patrick Mahomes throws for 385. He goes 31 of 42, 385, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and he also ran for another. Give me a break. How do you slow down a guy that's good for five touchdowns and 400 yards of offense against one of the better defenses in the NFL? I can't sit here and tell you that no matter what, over the course of his career, he will always have the Ravens' number, because schemes change, defensive coordinators change, defensive personnel changes, and Mahomes is still early in his career. He's only 3 years into his starting career. This is only year number three under center as a starter, which is just mind-melting. So, no, I can't sit here and say for the next 10 years the Ravens will never get the better of him. But this is really not a fair fight these days, because the Chiefs' offense is now basically on steroids. It's getting its superhuman powers, its superhero powers. You're watching Andy Reid put together an offense like last night, where they just don't hesitate and try to pull off things that nobody else does. 5 yards from the goal line, and Patrick Mahomes is on a designed play, underhand pitching in the middle of the defensive line. For, by the way, a touchdown. I mean, they're working on underhand spinning, almost like candlepin bowling, for Patrick Mahomes to pass into the interior of the defense. We are watching wide receiver tossbacks and multiple guys in motion constantly on every play. Reid is coming up like a mad scientist with all types of different looks, and a defense even as good as the Ravens just can't catch up. I think last week against the Chargers, it could be familiarity. Those two teams are in the same division. They see the Chiefs twice a year. And maybe also the Chiefs coming off that emotional week one victory raising the banner, getting their rings, being saluted champions. Maybe you have a bit of a letdown going into week number two. But last night, to me, proved that when the Chiefs have some pressure on them, some expectations, a really good challenge in front of them, they can absolutely rip it apart. And they did it last night. And not only did Patrick Mahomes just blow the doors off the Ravens' defense last night, he spread the football out to everybody. I mean, Kelsey at 87 yards, Mecole Hardman at 81 yards, that big touchdown, big throw downfield, just taking candy from a baby. Tyreek Hill, 77 yards in the score. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 70 yards out of the backfield. Sammy Watkins, 62 yards. Think about all those different weapons that he has at his disposal that he can make look like all pros. And on the flip side, Lamar Jackson just was at a loss all night long. Lamar could not run the football, could not pass the football, and that Chiefs defense did a hell of a job on Lamar Jackson. A really, really great job. Look, Lamar Jackson's not going to have many games like that, and so I don't want to say that somehow Lamar Jackson isn't worthy of expectations and the Ravens can't do anything. I think the Ravens are perhaps the second-best team of the NFL. I think they're the second-best team of the AFC. They're a really good team that last night just was made to look very mediocre, and I think that has a lot to do with how dynamic the Chiefs' offense is. They can really basically rip the heart out of you and essentially kind of, they can take away your own kind of momentum because of how easy they score. And then the Chiefs' defense deserves a lot of credit last night as well for locking down on Lamar Jackson. A really dynamite performance by the Chiefs. And, you know, we went into last night hoping, okay, Mahomes versus Jackson. This is the two best teams of the AFC, the AFC Championship game preview. And what we learned, Lamar ain't at the level of Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs defense can't slow down Patrick Mahomes, and the Ravens aren't on the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what we learned last night. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, if these two teams met in the postseason, which is probable, do you think the same thing would occur? Do you think by the end of the year, maybe the Ravens will have a chance to turn the number and actually beat the Chiefs for the first time?
I wouldn't bet on it. And again, it was another joke that the Chiefs somehow and Patrick Mahomes were an underdog in last night's game.
Can you believe that? Somehow the Ravens were laying the three last night.
What a joke. What a joke. Hate to pat myself on up the gut, but that was a layup. You don't give points to Patrick Mahomes. However, it should be noted, I mean, they lose the game by 14 points last night. Can Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown hold on to a pass in their hands? I mean, there had to have been 5-6 critical drops on drives that were absolutely stalled, including a Mark Andrews pass he absolutely has to make if he's one of the best tight ends in football in the end zone. So I can't throw everything on the lap of Lamar Jackson on why they couldn't play catch-up with Patrick Mahomes last night. The problem is when you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you have to play mistake-free football. There is no way around it. You can't draw passes. You can't fumble on a sack. If you don't play the perfect game on your offensive end and try to capitalize as much as possible, then I can't trust you in the postseason to go tit for tat with the Kansas City Chiefs, because as they proved last year versus the Texans, no lead is too much for them to come back on, and you just need to keep your foot on the gas and keep going. And I would also argue, DA, if you're John Harbaugh and you're setting the tone earlier in that game on that very first drive, do you need to pull up and kick a field goal from 26 yards out, or do you want to set a message and go for it on fourth down and try to score a touchdown and say, we're here for the track meet and we're going to out-track meet you? I just thought there were too many errors and too many missed opportunities to put points on the board for the Baltimore Ravens last night. And if you're going to play that kind of mistake football, I can't trust you in the postseason to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Also, the Ravens cannot fall behind by 17 points against the Chiefs, because at that point you've just spotted them 17 and you'll never catch up. And this could have been worse. The Chiefs led 27-10 coming out of halftime. They got the football and immediately started ripping off some plays downfield. Mahomes on the first play went to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're starting to move the football. They had a 16-yarder to Tyreek Hill as well. And on second and three, Damian Thompson ends up picking up the first down on an 11-yard carry. They are already inside the Baltimore 30, and that's when Thompson fumbles. And it's a great defensive play. It's a big hit by the Ravens. And the Chiefs lose that football in the scrum. Looked like they had one of their offensive linemen down there. I think it was Schwartz. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was Schwartz.
But either way, they almost got it back. If the Chiefs don't fumble there or collect that fumble, they're going in for another score, and it's going to be 34-10, game, set, match. The Ravens end up getting the fumble, coming down the field. You got to give them credit because they get the fumble, they go down the field, they get points of the field goal, and then they're able to collect. They get, I think it was a fourth down conversion the Chiefs didn't get, and then the Ravens end up scoring a touchdown there. So they swing it by about 10 points just based on the fumble, but it's just too a little too late because you're already down 17. That fumble, if it doesn't go in the Ravens' direction, it could have been even uglier for the Ravens last night. So that's a real eye-opener, I think, if you're Baltimore. You think you're at the level of the Chiefs, but you're not, and you've got a long ways to go if you guys do end up playing again coming up in January. Three straight years of the regular season, three straight Mahomes wins over Lamar Jackson. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS on a Trash Tuesday. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day, including one baseball manager not happy with his team and when they've got to open up their postseason. Also, Ron Rivera admitting that Dwayne Haskins doesn't have the starting job forever. That's coming up next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Thanks for being with us. Our toll-free line at a Trash Tuesday. Hit us up if you've got somebody to trash. 855-212-4227. That's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Time now for Soundcheck, and we begin with baseball's postseason. Today, we've got the playoffs opening up. And this afternoon, we've got the Oakland A's taking on the Chicago White Sox. However, A's manager Bob Melvin, not happy. Let's play the clip.
You talk about a home field advantage. There's no fans. You win your division, there's no fans in the stands, and now you're hitting at 9 o'clock in the morning. They hit later than we do. So I'm not complaining. I'm just answering your question to the point that there are a lot of obstacles along the way.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, sure sounded like complaining. I don't know about you. I don't know how you would actually describe or define complaining, but that sounded exactly like complaining. Today, your schedule looks like this. We open things up at 2 o'clock Eastern time. First pitch from Target Field, Astros and Twins. And then that 3 o'clock Eastern first pitch, noon local time of the Bay Area, White Sox at A's. 5 o'clock Eastern today is Blue Jays at Rays at the Trop. And the Yankees open up tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time against the Indians. Of course, baseball and the TV execs wanted the Yankees against the Indians in prime time because it's the Yankees. So that's going to be in Cleveland on ESPN tonight. So your baseball matchup's going to look like today at 2 Eastern on ABC, Astros Twins, ESPN White Sox A's, TBS Blue Jays Rays, and then ESPN Yankees Indians. Mraz, do you think Bob Melvin has a reason to gripe about playing at noon local to open up the postseason?
I can understand being angry, but if you're Bob Melvin and you're the fans in Oakland, aren't you used to daytime playoff games as far as the first round goes? Because the A's are never a primetime team. Now, could the MLB have thrown a bone and played the game at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock local time and done a late game? I suppose they could have done that because there's no West Coast game, but for White Sox fans, that wouldn't be fair either.
Yeah, in this case, I mean, the A's don't get the benefit of the doubt because they are the 2 seed. And so to be the 2 seed playing basically at noon Eastern time at home, middle of the day, when there's no crowd, there's no fans, I could understand feeling like we don't matter. But ultimately, there's 4 games to open up the American League playoffs on day 1. Somebody's going to have to play early. like you said, you could have a West Coast late start, but if baseball wanted to play day baseball playoffs, this is the thing. And you and I both wanted baseball to play more matinee games over the course of the pandemic with more people at home, so we finally got it for the playoffs. So no, I can't criticize Major League Baseball here. To bring us day playoff postseason baseball is pretty awesome. I remember growing up in the 80s and watching the Bash Brothers and the A's play day baseball all the time. They were always in the ALCS. They were in the World Series three straight years. And I remember a lot of those games starting during the daytime. So for me, I think it's kind of cool. I wish they were fans in attendance, but without that, look, nobody gets fans in attendance. Let's turn to football now. Josh Allen taking blame for the Bills, allowing the Rams to come all the way back from down 28-3 on Sunday.
Going up 28-3 as a team, we got to be better. We got to make sure that we're keeping our foot on the pedal, and we got to put that game away. You know, I'm very happy with how resilient this team was, but I'm also a little mad at myself for allowing us to kind of dip right there and not, you know, executing like we should have. I put the ball in harm's way too often.
Josh Allen has been really good in the first 3 weeks. That's why the Bills are 3-0. It has not been because the Bills have a great defense. We've seen that now, allowing the Rams to come all the way back. I like Josh Allen's attitude. I have been very skeptical on Josh Allen being a winning quarterback in the NFL. Too high and low for me. Too up and down. And Allen was that way on Sunday. And he's right. It's good that he's taking responsibility for it. Because Allen threw into some bad situations, and when they just needed a long clock-eating drive to stem the tide against the Rams, they really weren't able to do that. Allen, though, got the PI call down the stretch and was able to take advantage of it, so you got to give Allen credit for getting the W and the Bills for getting the W, but it's true, they opened up the door for the Rams to crash in and to come back from that deficit. And that's something that a great team does not do. And let's see if the Bills can get to that level by some point this season. Being a great team means grabbing the lead and then not letting your opponent, even a very good one, ever back in it. And finally, Washington football head coach Ron Rivera on Dwayne Haskins, who had a very up-and-down day himself on Sunday.
Truthfully, they deserve better. I mean, when you look at the way, you know, Deron played and Jonathan and Montez. I mean, you know, guys like that are leaving it on the field. John Bostic, I mean, you know, guys played hard. You know, then you turn around the offense side and you look at those guys on the offensive line were battling and fighting too. And, you know, the things that the backs did, the receivers and tight. I mean, you have to, you know, say at some point there is. And I'll cross that bridge when I get there. There are guys in that locker room that are playing well enough for us to win. And again, we have to make sure everybody is playing well enough to win at that point. And there is a cutoff point for me. There is.
And that is your sound check. I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot like Ron Rivera saying that Dwayne Haskins isn't as focused. He isn't working as hard as the other guys. I mean, Ron Rivera is pointing to on defense, we've got guys out there battling. We've got guys out there fighting. We've got guys out there playing well enough to win. We've got an offensive line that's also out there battling. And my quarterback's leash isn't forever, okay? He's got to be held accountable. That, to me, says that he's not putting Dwayne Haskins in the category of working as hard as the other guys and trying to get a win. Mraz, is there any other way to interpret that clip there?
No, and again, D.A., I would just say if your plan is to draft a quarterback and your coach is on thin ice, just fire the coach and bring a new coach in, because kind of like I felt with Josh Rosen, is this really fair to Dwayne Haskins that Ron Rivera has been hired, you're not his guy, and he's brought in Kyle Allen, and Alex Smith has worked his tail off, and basically he has no leash at all as a second-year quarterback? I know that he has to work harder, but already he was behind the eight ball not being the new coach's guy.
So I disagree. I don't think this is about that Ron Rivera doesn't want Dwayne Haskins to succeed, because Ron Rivera is there for the long term. Ron Rivera is not coaching for his job. Ron Rivera is going to be there for the next 3 or 4 years minimum. I think this is about seeing a young quarterback that had these question marks coming out of college, not doing the little things. And then on Sunday, throwing three interceptions in that Cleveland and basically being willing to be a tough coach, to be some tough love. Because if you are an unproven head coach, you have to treat your first-round draft pick with kid gloves, even if you've inherited him. But because Ron Rivera has pelt on the wall, because Ron Rivera has credibility, he can go after Dwayne Haskins a little bit. I think this is more about he knows the rest of the team is looking at Dwayne Haskins going, hey, everybody else is killing themselves out here except the quarterback.
I totally agree, but it does not help that Alex Smith is in that room and that Ron Rivera brought Kyle Allen in, because look, Case Keenum started a bunch of games last year. This is Dwayne Haskins' first full year as a starting quarterback in the NFL. There are going to be mistakes. He has to learn from those mistakes. Now, we're not in the room, and maybe that's the problem, that he's not willing to learn from those mistakes and put in the hard work in the film room. And maybe all of that is the case, but I'm taking this at face value that Haskins is at least attempting to do the things a franchise quarterback should do. That is a tough scenario in that locker room with a veteran coach and two guys like that sitting behind this kid, where if he's making mistakes, the impatience by week three, when they already came back and beat the Eagles in a week one, mind you, it's not like they're 0-3, to already be throwing this at the feet of Dwayne Haskins and giving the media a little chum in the water, I just think it's a little much, and I think it's a little bit of a disservice that I just can't help but wonder if Ron Rivera was the guy that drafted Dwayne Haskins, if he'd be saying this.
But I think when Ron Rivera gets the job, he's talking to Dan Snyder about developing Dwayne Haskins into the franchise QB. I mean, everybody in Washington knows they haven't had one of those in 25 years or something. I mean, outside of the flash in the pan that was Robert Griffin, they really haven't had that guy, Kirk Cousins, briefly. I think this is more about Ron Rivera setting expectations high for his rookie quarterback or his young quarterback who's not, he's not stepping up into that role. And I think this is not about we're threatening to bench you because we want to win football games. To me, this feels like we're saying this because we don't see you putting in the work that the other guys are. I mean, I got to imagine if Ron Rivera inherited Peyton Manning and he was in year two throwing a bunch of INTs, he's saying the same thing. It's not that I don't think Peyton Manning can be our quarterback. It's we need him to meet the work and the expectations of everybody else in here. That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, I guess my counterpoint against my own argument would be if you are a franchise quarterback and you want that and you have all the talent and the skills to be that, mentally you should be able to welcome the challenge of your coach calling you out and try to prove him wrong, which I guess would be Ron Rivera's tactic here. But I just think you gotta give him a couple more weeks before you're even throwing this bait out there to me, because I think you're asking for him to, he's your quarterback, he's going to be answering questions. You're asking to put more on his plate than already just doing the work that it takes to be an excellent quarterback in the NFL, and I question whether Dwayne Haskins now is going to crumble under the weight of this.
It must be really bad. I mean, it must be really bad in Washington where they see Dwayne Haskins, who's just not putting in the work, and he's making sloppy decisions, and they've gone over things in practice, and he's just not getting it, and this is Rivera's wake-up call. It's got to be what it is. Standing by with our headlines this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Vogish. A.V. Yesterday, A.B., when you were out, we had one of our listeners say, where is Vogish? Is he out today? We had to tell him that you're not out permanently. They thought that maybe Brad Heller replaced you permanently, but now we really like the nickname Andrew Vogish.
Well, I'm glad that DA made such an impact on the audience over all of these shows and years in this time slot that we're still struggling on my last name. But that's a new one. Usually the end is the trouble, but I didn't know that the beginning could also be a hurdle, but I'll take whatever I can get. At least he missed me, right?
That's right. He noticed that you were gone.
So Patrick Mahomes has still never lost as an NFL starter in September. 10-0 now, 31 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions after 4 of those TD throws last night in Baltimore. One was underhand to his fullback. Another, a 49-yard bomb in the face of pressure. Another one was this.
First down and goal to go at the Raven 2-yard line. Make a handoff, short roll, throwback, left wide open, Eric Fisher, a tackle eligible, Eric Fisher, the fish jumps out of the pond and goes into the sweet nectar of the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City on a tackle, eligible to Eric Fisher.
If you're going to throw to an offensive lineman, Mitch Holtis must be doing your radio broadcast at that moment. As you might expect, left tackle Eric Fisher not prepared for that call to come into the huddle.
When it came in the huddle, it just like, I don't know, man. I blacked out a little bit and I just did what I did, and the rest is history. But for Big Red to dial my number in that situation, and trust me, you know, kind of sealed the game. It's a memory I'll have forever.
Fisher speaking postgame to KCChiefs.com. Tyreek Hill called Mahomes' other TD in the 34-20 lesson for the Ravens. Mahomes badly outplayed Lamar Jackson, who is now 0-for-3 against the Chiefs. Jackson just 15 of 28, 97 yards and one score while getting sacked four times last night. His team had won 14 consecutive regular season games. KC now has won 12 in a row overall, including their Super Bowl run. Whatever the opposite of stunned Tua news is, this is it. The Bears named Nick Foles their starting QB going forward. The bad
not
news
stunned
out of Chicago,
Tua news.
No, not even a little bit. The bad news out of Chicago is a confirmed torn ACL for running back Tariq Cohen. Broncos D-tackle Jarrell Casey has a season-ending torn pec. The Texans will work out free agent safety Earl Thomas this week, and Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn says he's, quote, not in a position right now to rule out Tyrod Taylor for this weekend. Taylor has now missed two games because a team doctor accidentally punctured his lung administering a pain injection. On the 130th game in the NHL bubbles, the Tampa Bay Lightning have their second Stanley Cup. They closed out the Stars 2-0 in Game 6 in Edmonton. All the details as unfunny as possible, messing up the funny line in Canadian bacon after our next break. Doc Rivers is done as Clippers head coach after 7 seasons and 356 wins, but there was also this year's second round bubble exit despite that 3-1 lead on the Nuggets. The Clips reportedly owe Rivers $20 million. The Athletic says the Sixers and Pelicans have already expressed interest in him. As DA already ran through, it is a busy day on the diamond. The first 4 playoff games are today. Your nightcap, the Yankees in Cleveland. Shane Bieber throws the first pitch shortly after 7 o'clock after leading the majors in ERA and strikeouts.
All that stuff this season, it was special. I'll reflect on it another time. But we got one goal in mind, and I got one goal in mind, and that's to go out there and win tomorrow and get us off on the right foot.
Gerrit Cole counters for the Yankees. Notre Dame football resuming conditioning work as they deal with a COVID-19 outbreak. The school said yesterday it's dealing with 18 positive tests, 7 more players in isolation, another 14 are in quarantine. Ohio State will have corner Sean Wade and guard Wyatt Davis when their season begins next month. Both opted out of the season right before the Big Ten change plans. Wade said he hired an agent to prep for the NFL draft, but never signed any paperwork with that agent, and now both, according to their head coach, have clearance to play. And day 3 at the French Open is underway. American Jen Brady down the first set of her first round match with Clara Tauson, but leads the second 4-3. Novak Djokovic, Sofia Kenin, Sloane Stephens, and Sam Querrey all play later on. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Pogues. Good to have you back. When we return, it's the final episode of Canadian Bacon. We hoist the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's chalice, pouring drinks all over our bearded faces. Yes, we have a champion, and Mraz delivers it in terms of his stand-up act coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another.
Crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA show.
Oh, what a shame. The last time we'll hear Ilya Bryzgalov.
It's only hockey. You're not a bad guy. Why you be so mad?
That's the final time we'll get to hear that, because last night the cup was raised. Mraz is here to take us through the action of Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Mraz, take it away.
2 long months in Toronto and Edmonton, DA. 2 long months of tomatoes thrown at me doing Canadian bacon, but we close with a bang. The Lightning got a goal yet again from Braden Point per game in the first period. And with the lead at 1-0 in the second period, Blake could skate for Tampa.
Maroon deals it in. Radulov blocks it, though, trying to counter quickly. Maroon cuts off the pass and counters across the blue line. Left to go to Paquette. Right to go. Coleman! Score! By Coleman! 2-0 Lightning! And what a play in the neutral zone by Pat Maroon!
Yes, the Lightning reminding everyone you were a real Maroon if you thought there would be a Game 7. That call from Dave Michigan on the Lightning Radio Network. Blake Coleman, 360 days ago, scored on opening night for the New Jersey Devils.
Wow.
360 days ago for a different franchise. He ends up scoring the last goal of the NHL season. Because up 2-0, it was all on Andrei Vasilevskiy in net. He turned away 22 shots. That's right, 22 shots. Not enough to get it done for the Dallas Stars. And that set up our soundbite of the day.
Rebound Radulov behind the net. Right circle Haskinen. Right point Klingberg shoots. Blocked! It's out of the zone! Into the neutral zone! 8 seconds left! Barkley Goodrow after it! Shoots wide right of the open net. Time ticks down! The Lightning with the Stanley Cup! They've reached the top of the mountain! They are the Stanley Cup champs!
Yes, Dave Michigan has waited a long time to melt down with this call as the Lightning finally exercise their demons of letdown over the past six seasons and win the Stanley Cup. The key to the series, the power play, gentlemen. Tampa Bay's power play turned the series around after Dallas won the opener. Points goal made it 7 for the last 16 on the power play over the last 5 games to totally make the Stars shooting away. If you were a smart Gary betting man, you would have plunked down money on the Lightning preseason as they win the craziest and most difficult Stanley Cup final that has ever been played, in my opinion. Call them the Bubble Boys, gentlemen. They didn't need the word moops to earn this ring. And that, for your final time, is your Canadian bacon.
The Barnyard loves the fact that this is the final episode of Canadian Bacon.
So does Canada.
A couple of things here. That's such a cool stat that you brought up, that we are 5 days away from the date that this season began. That in 5 days from now was last year's date of the opening of this hockey season?
Technically, it's 4 days away. The Devils played, I believe, on night 2. So it actually would be 4 days away. But for the Devils, where they had Blake Coleman, who later they traded to Lightning, yes, 360 days ago, he scored for the Devils on opening night, scores the final goal of this hockey season.
So essentially, last year's or this year's NHL season opened up on October 1st or so of last year. And we're already at September 29th. So it's been a full calendar year of one hockey season. Of course, there's a huge layoff because of the pandemic, but that's an amazing stat.
What a long year, if you remember the NHL. Unbelievable.
So the NHL wraps up this season around the time they usually start their previous season. And another thing, you just called this maybe the most difficult Stanley Cup ever to win. So in your mind, when you see the Tampa Bay Lightning hoisting the cup last night in an empty arena, and there is none of the normal pomp and circumstance and juice that accompanies the Stanley Cup final games, you don't feel like it's half a cup. You don't feel like it's a compromise cup. You feel like this is absolutely as worthy as anybody's Stanley Cup.
Right. People would argue that you didn't play any road games, didn't have any, you know, advantage or disadvantage playing, but you also didn't get any home games. And if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning in the warm weather of Tampa enjoying that old run, to go up to Canada and first of all, play in Toronto, then get on a flight and go to Edmonton for the conference finals and the finals, not really see your family, have to live by all of these rules that have been presented to you. 2 months they did this.
Because the NHL players did not have their families there like the NBA players. The NBA players
now,
got their families there.
Some
the hockey
did
players
the
did not. right?
Some did by the cup. There would be wives, and stuff, but not the usual, you know, you get the whole caravan of things. And it was also...
And only Canadian families. You couldn't...
Yes,
Canada did not let American families cross the border. So Canadian families could go. So both, I don't even think they got to half capacity, so to speak. So it was only a few families that were able to be there.
Gotcha.
And it was a great piece done by Puck Daddy, Greg Wyshynski, and ESPN, where they had a lot of interviews with anonymous players they didn't want to be named. And apparently in the NHL, a lot of the things that they were promised, like they saw was going on with the NBA, fly fishing trips, golf outings, none of that ever happened over 2 months. Apparently the way the schedule would have worked for golf, they were told this was going to happen. It never worked out. They made a joke about, tell me one person that got to go fly fishing. They apparently were going to be offered all of these activities to kind of get them away from hockey. Mm-hmm. And none of it ever happened over 2 months. So they were literally hotel room, maybe a Tim Hortons donut on the ice. That's what they did for 2 months. And honestly, to go through that mental grind, and in the end, I think we're rewarded with a team that, or two teams in the Stanley Cup that we thought before the year could have gotten there
they
anyway.
They were worthy, yes.
They
These were not
worthy.
Fluky teams that were in the final.
So to not have a fluky Stanley Cup winner and survive what they had to do for 2 months, coming off of that whole layoff, and oh, by the way, the Tampa Bay Lightning doing this, essentially, except for one period in the Cup, without their captain and their best player, Steven Stamkos, I think this is the most difficult Stanley Cup that's ever been won. I really do, and I think the Lightning deserve a lot of credit, and hats off to them. This is long overdue for them, and they have a great team, great guys, and I hope they enjoy the heck out of this.
It's also a well-earned Stanley Cup because last year the Lightning were the President's Trophy winners. That's the most points in the NHL, and got swept by the 8-seeded Columbus Blue Jackets. So remember, that was a humiliation,
yep,
historic proportions. And the Lightning, kind of like how Virginia lost to the 16-seed UMBC and then came back to win the national championship,
great
they
comment.
Utilized that humiliation to then go all the way the next year. And that's a pretty impressive thing. One thing that I couldn't shake last night was the fact that the Lightning have now won two Stanley Cups. They've only been around since the early 90s. They won their first one in 04. Mm-hmm. Now they've won their second one. So they've got two cups in 16 years. Compare that to, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are putting tons of money into that operation and haven't won since the 60s, or simply the country of Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1993. The Montreal Canadiens were the last team. So the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs, the Canucks, go down the list, the Oilers, none of these teams have won a Stanley Cup. The entire country hasn't won since 93. And the Lightning have two cups since 04. Can you believe it?
Sunbelt hockey. Got to get everybody in Canada down to all these warm weather cities, and then you got a shot to win. It's incredible.
In the time since Canada won its last cup, the Lightning have won twice. The Ducks have won once or twice?
I think once.
Once, the Jean-Sébastien Giguère year?
Yes.
No, they were in the finals that year. I don't know if they won it that year.
No, it was with the newer jerseys. I know you can't tell the jerseys apart, but...
Yeah, well, that's the only reason that I know.
It was a Getzlaf team. It was one of those Ryan
the
Getzlaf
movie
teams. Yes.
Jersey.
Yeah, because Corey Perry was on that team, too, yeah, playing for Dallas last night. He won a cup with the Ducks, so it couldn't have been as far back as Giguère.
The Stars won in 99 with Brett Hull. These are all teams. The Carolina Hurricanes won in the 2000s. All Sun Belt expansion teams that have won since Canada won one cup. Since Canada won one cup. Think about it. We've had the Los Angeles Kings win three, right? I mean, it's just kind of insane, all of the teams that are not traditional hockey powerhouses that have won Stanley Cup since the last time any team in Canada has won one. That included last night as the Tampa Bay Lightning are your Stanley Cup champs. Nice. Well, that wraps up Canadian Bacon. I don't know. We're going to have another excuse to play Ilya Bryzgalov in that music.
Yeah, I just also wanted to bring out a geography thing real quick before we go. Last night, great B-roll. There is like a Clearwater River in Edmonton or something they showed last night. It looked like one of those lagoons in Iceland. Did you know about the Clearwater in Edmonton, fellas? It looked like a
I
nice
did
place
not.
To visit.
I did not see that B-roll either.
Unbelievable. I dropped my jaw. I said, maybe this is a place to vacation, Edmonton.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours past Cleveland.
Surprised you knew what a lagoon was.
Mraz coming out of that would be Creature from the Black Lagoon. Creature from the Clear Lagoon in Edmonton. When we come back here on the show, Doc Rivers. Was he the scapegoat for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.